Amen. Amen. We're better. Amen. We are better together. Oh, it's great to be have each and every one here today. We're in the middle of a series that I kind of bounced off of for a while because I felt the Holy Spirit really putting in my heart to remind us, coming off of Pentecost Sunday, that Pentecost Sunday is not just a moment, right? It's not just a moment. Christmas is not just a moment when we think of Christ and his birth and what he's done for us. Communion is not just a moment where, oh, we had communion today, okay, we go off and do our thing. And that we remind ourselves, these are not moments. The kids are dismissed at this time. Thank you, Pastor Nathan and the junior youth. And I just love to have them around. I don't like to leave them. Oh, no, I'm glad they're going. God bless you. I'm digging out. Okay, so in that part is we find ourselves in this place over and over again where we're reaching out for him, looking for him, moving towards him. And this idea we've been walking through, God brought me through an idea. He's been speaking in my heart, and this is the phrase that he started with, and this is why I'm moving us into this journey. We come off of walking in the Spirit and Holy Spirit because, you know, reality is you cannot find Jesus. No one here found him. The Bible tells us that Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to you so that you could turn around and surrender your heart to receive him. But you didn't find him on your own. Holy Spirit helped you because God's will is none would perish. If he left it up to us, how many know many of us would perish? Because we don't think about God a whole lot on our own. We get distracted because the cares of this world, the excitements and joys of this world, we get off track lots. But Holy Spirit is constantly drawing us back, constantly revealing, constantly convicting our heart to say, hey, that might be good, but there's something better. And God shared in my heart, he says, Phil, he says, you need to express to the church, not just as Rockcliffe, but as individuals, it's only going to get better. Some of us have been listening way too much to the news, and that's not a bad thing. Please don't hear me on this. But we've allowed the negativity of the news of what's going on in this world today to impact the way we live. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We were created to live on purpose. Every good thing that you're meant to do has already been prepared in advance. And so our job is to rest in him and say, Jesus, what do you got for me to do today? What's your list of good things you want me to do? Oh, you want me to go to the right? I'll go to the right. Oh, you want me to stop and talk to this person? Okay. Oh, you want me to give this or you want me to do this? You want me to partner? Okay. And then we walk into that sweet spot of where he created us because he's already prepared it in advance. It's not something we got to try and figure out, something that we'd have to turn around and say, oh, well, I don't know. He says, what do you got in your hand, Moses? A stick? Okay, use that. What do you have in your hand? What are your gifts? What are some of the things that God's put inside of you that you're passionate about? Use that. If it's fishing, don't fish alone. Take someone. If it's golfing, don't golf alone. If it's sewing, don't sew alone. If it's cooking, don't cook alone. Bring someone else to be a part of what God is doing and watch out of that relationship on what he will do. It's only going to get better. We used to sing that song, it's going to get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Well, that's the truth. It's not just a song. It's a reality. We've been talking about this, and I believe God for a better year this year than I did last year. And I hope you're believing for that too, because he's not dead. He's alive. We've been looking at different verses with the word better in it. We've been memorizing those verses so we don't just be hearers of it and we forget it, but that we know, we can know them and we can let those verses transform our thinking, our mind, and our lives. So the key thought for part one was this. You're going to have to let go of the good to grab hold of the better. Sometimes we're going to have to let go of something that's good so that we can grab a hold of something that's better. And that was part of the key thought, and you can go back on the web and you can catch that series that we did. And the scripture verse was Psalms 84:10. Better is one day in your courts. This should come up and behind me here. It's not in front of me. Oh, we don't have the switch yet. Okay. And that better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, the lowliest of low, in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Another portion says on that last little bit there, as the day closer, we get closer and closer to the day, we should be together more. Not less, but more. And that so that we can spur each other on. The key thought for part two that we were in was it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Our memory verse was in from Ecclesiastes 4:6. It says, better one handful with tranquility or peace than two with toil and striving and stress and chasing after the wind. Better one handful. Learning to be content with what we have instead of trying to always have a little more, just a little more. And we get two hands in there and we find our life so full we have no room for anyone else. But if we live with where God has for us, we live with the one handful, we've got one hand to bless, one hand to touch, one hand to move around and be what God has asked us to be. Oh, it's better. It's better. Before we get into our menu reverse for this week, I just want to ask a question. How many people here today, you've got a big decision? Maybe it's to do with your health. Maybe it's to do with life, whether it be university or college, marriage, dating, whether it be with your kids, whether it be a mortgage, whether it be some retirement fund or this or that. How many people have some big decisions around them today? You just slide your hand up if you do. You know, there's quite a few amongst us today that do. And if you don't today, guess what? Tomorrow you probably will, right? Because those decisions and those things that come around is constantly is happening around us. We've got some decisions to make. A lot of us in every different season of our life, whether it be college and deciding what should I major in, or, you know, when I graduate, what job should I go for? Maybe it's considering dating someone. Should I date him or should I not? Should I take this dating relationship to another level? Should we get married or not? And if we do, when do we get married? And then where are we going to live? Should we rent? Should we buy? Should we have kids now or kids later? And some with kids are wondering, should we trade in our kids and get some monkeys instead? Should we pay off the car first or try to pay off the credit card debt? Should we stay at home and raise the kids or continue to work so we can get out of debt? We want to get a pet. What should we get? Should we get a dog? Maybe two dogs? We just can't decide what we should do. So if you're taking notes, this is our key thought. And our key thought is simply this. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. In other words, who you are today is a result of the decisions that you made yesterday. I want you to think about this. Who you become tomorrow is a direct result of the decisions that you make today. We make our decisions and our decisions make us. So if you don't like where you're at today, remember it's the decisions that you made yesterday that led you to today. But also remember, it's the decisions today can lead you out of this moment. Because the decisions we make are the decisions that also make us. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about a very important message. We're going to look at a better way to make decisions in order to honor God. So what I want to do is start off with a story from the Old Testament first. It's a story, and that you'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and you can look at that later. But it's a story about Solomon, who had just been anointed king over Israel. Tradition was, when you became king, you would sacrifice a bull as an act of worship to God. Well, here we have this guy named Solomon, where he doesn't sacrifice one bull, 5, 10, or 100, but he sacrifices 1,000 bulls, a huge offering to honor his God. 2 Chronicles 1:6. And whether it was a direct result of the fact that he went over an abundant with not just one, which was traditional, but he lavished 1,000 towards God or not, we're not 100% sure. But what we do know is that night God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. You name it, one thing, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you." Well, I don't know about you. If God came to you right now and said, "What do you want? One thing. You can have anything at all, one wish, what would you ask for?" Well, if you're like many kids, you'd probably say, "I'd ask for more wishes. I'd ask for more of those." We're not going to do that. But if you could ask for one thing, I want you to think about right now, what would that one thing be? A lot of people, if they're honest, they'd say, "Show me the money. You know, God, I need some more money." Some people would say, "I want more power. I want to be famous. I want to be known." If you're in your 30s and you've never been married, you might be saying, "I want a godly husband or a godly wife." Maybe you're married and you can't have kids and you tried everything and you say, "God, one thing would be to give us a son or to give us a daughter." For some of you, it might be battling cancer or some other illness, or someone that you love is, and you say, "If I could have one thing, I would ask God to heal me or to heal the person that I love." Imagine God asking, "Anything you want, you can have any one thing. What would you ask for?" You see, that's what God did for Solomon. "Whatever you want." In 2 Chronicles 1:10 shows us the amazing response from Solomon. God says, "I'll give you anything." And Solomon says, "Give me," in 2 Chronicles 1:10, it says this, "Give me wisdom and knowledge." So let's say that together. "Give me wisdom and knowledge, that I might lead your people. For whom is able to govern this great people of yours?" Anything you want, Solomon, he says, "Give me wisdom and knowledge." Evidently, this response moved God so much that God said, "You know, Solomon, you could have asked for money, for power, for fame. You could have asked me to wipe out your enemies. But since you asked for wisdom, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all the other things as well." And Solomon went on to write more about wisdom than anyone else in Scripture. And over and over and over and over again, he said, "Wisdom is better." Can we say that? Wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. It's better. Our memory verse today is found in Proverbs 16:16. Here's what it says. I'll read it. And then we'll read it together and we'll commit it to memory. Proverbs 16:16, it says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. So let's read it together. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. I mean, this is a pretty odd type of a statement for a king. How now, I can't understand, or I can't overstate, I should say, how big of a deal this is. When he said, how much better is wisdom than gold? Because he went and took the number one most valuable commodity, not just in his era, but really for centuries and centuries, gold has been what everyone has wanted. It's been a symbol of power and wealth. And that gold represents power, it represents prestige, and that it's a sign of wealth. And he says, how much better to get wisdom than that which everybody else wants? Let me pause to say, the majority is not always right. Has anyone else found that in life at times? The majority all turns left, and God says, whoa, I don't want you going anywhere. Or he says, go right, and everyone else moves left. The majority's not always right. Wisdom is better than gold, what is everyone's chasing after in this world. Wisdom is far better. And then he took the second most valuable commodity, silver, and he says, choose understanding rather than silver. You see, when I was 24 years old, I was in my first year of marriage to my wife. I was young. Very young. I was pastoring at a really great church. I was very intimidated, very overwhelmed. I felt unqualified, inadequate. Everyone was older than me. Everyone seemed smarter than me. And most people had walked with God longer than I was even born. And I read this story about Solomon, and something started to click inside of me. So I went on a quest to find mentors. I went on a quest to read the Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Sometimes it's said that's what it is. In fact, I started to realize that if I read one chapter of Proverbs a day, that would take me 1 month. If there was 31 days, if there was less than that, then I'd have to spin off a little. And I started to realize, man, there was a whole lot of wisdom in God's word. There was a whole lot of wisdom sitting around me. And I started to realize that, wow, we lack no wisdom. We lack nothing in Christ. We lack nothing in him. So I decided I was going to pursue God above all else. I wasn't going to seek God to get wisdom, but I was going to seek him and just gain the wisdom, because he is wisdom. And so I went on this hunt for the mentors. I went on this hunt and began to read Proverbs. So here's the deal. What God has been doing in my life, and I really feel that it's something he spurred inside of me that he wants me to share with others. And what I want you to understand, especially those that maybe are younger, I can say that now because they're younger people than me, that this is incredible valuable in life, not just to the younger, but to all of us to take note. If you ask people that are my age or older, what they would do if they could go back and change some decision they had made, almost everyone would end up saying, if I knew what I know now, I would have done life so much differently. If I would have known what I know now, or hindsight, it's 2020. If you get wisdom today and you make decisions not based on the wisdom of the world, which is called foolishness, but if you make decisions based on wisdom from the heart of God over a period of years, then turning into decades, I'm telling you, you can go from an average mundane life to someone who is impacting generations for the glory of God if you get wisdom. Wisdom is worth more than gold. It's worth more. It's better to have wisdom than it is to have wealth. You need wisdom, and here is what Solomon says in Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, 7, he says, what is wisdom? Wisdom is what? It's supreme. Above everything else, wisdom. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Let me pause for this for a moment. Let me break it down for relationships. How many know that sometimes you can read someone wrong? Right? They got their hands folded. You know, they're looking at us a certain way. They react a certain way or respond a certain way. And we can judge the situation wrong. Correct? I don't know about you, but I put my foot in my mouth more than once, right? I've stumbled over my own self many times because I've misread someone. I've misread a moment, and I've taken it in my own hands. We sang that song, them being tired of fighting our own battle and taking it on our weary hands. We're tired of it. And God's saying, trust me, wisdom is better. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Even if it costs your pride. Even if it costs in that the fact of having to say, I was wrong. Oh, those seem to be real easy to say right now, but put me in a different circumstance, and it's really hard to say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. We don't like to admit those things. But remember, the Bible tells us that when we are weak, He is strong. So when we begin to humble ourselves, when we begin to admit we don't have it all together, really what we're doing is we're lifting Him up to be God instead of lifting ourselves up to know it all and to be it all. The Bible talks about that, and that is being foolish. Being foolish in that part. Get wisdom. If you want to glorify God, you want to make a difference in this world, and you want to do more than just take up space and accumulate things that are really just dust on this earth, then get wisdom. What I love about this is he says, ask. Get it. Look for it. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, I'll give it generously, without even looking for a fault. It doesn't really matter who it is that asks. I just love to give wisdom. So here's the deal. No matter what it costs you, go for it. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. It's more valuable than any other commodity that this world pursues. How much better is wisdom than gold? To pursue understanding rather than silver. Go for it. Change the way you think. Change the way you're making decisions. Though it costs you everything, all that you have, your time, your money, the people making fun of you, go get wisdom. Go for it. It will transform your life. And if you watch Solomon all through his teaching, he contrasts foolish people with wise. Over and over and over again, he says, don't be a fool, but be wise. And a wise person seeks wisdom and understanding. I want to break down a couple things about where Solomon brings out this theme of don't be a fool, but get wisdom. Fools act before they think. Fools act before they think. They just blurt out. They just say whatever. And before they think about it, they've just hurt someone. They've cut down. They've said something. They've pulled back. They've done something before they even thought about the whole thing. And that a fool acts before they think. Proverbs 13:16 says, wise people think before they act. Fools don't. And they even brag about their foolishness. You see, these patterns that I'm about to give you are patterns that are living amongst us all the time. We see around us in this world. And this is where Romans 12:2 is of one of the greatest scriptures we should be memorizing today, because there's a lot of foolish things going on today, is there not? You just listen to the news. You listen to what's happening from government and different other things and what they're putting into our schools and what they're putting into this and putting into that. I mean, man, there is some incredibly crazy things that are taking place. Some of them are sliding under the radar and a lot of people don't understand and realize and that. But, you know, in that part is we've got to understand we need to gain wisdom. We need to gain wisdom if more than ever before in the times that we live. But a fool acts before they think. Secondly, a fool spends all they earn. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Again, these are patterns that are around us. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He eats all he has. He spends all he has. You may say, but everyone else is doing it. Well, everyone else is foolish then. Gain wisdom. The third part that I see from Solomon, where he talks about this contracts of foolish and wise, fools hurt those they love. Proverbs 14:1 puts it this way. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears her own house down. She belittles, she nags, she controls. Or what does he do? He domineers, he's angry. See, the foolish one tears and hurts those they love. Gain wisdom. Don't act or speak before you think. Gain wisdom. And that don't spend all you earn and get yourself into such a hole that you can't make proper decisions or you can't move where God wants you to move. You can't give when he wants you to give. Oh, I'm in too debt. I can't do that. Don't be like the world. Don't be like the foolish, Solomon says. Choose wisdom. Invite him into that area. And that don't hurt the ones you love. Ask God for wisdom. How do I change this? I remember having a conversation with someone once, and they were really sharp with their tongue. And they would just share whatever, and they thought that they had this right. And they would just tear down people. And I remember once we had a conversation, and they were snapping at something. And I stepped in, and I said, whoa, I said, you know what, that's not really a godly way to handle it. And they said, oh, that's who I am. You just got to love me for who I am. And I said, no, I'm just loving you for who you will be. And this is an area God really wants to shift in you. Don't get stuck by saying, oh, well, that's just who I am. No, God created you to be much better than that. He created you to be like his son. He created me to be like his son. Am I there yet? Not a chance. But from glory to glory, I'm becoming more like him. And so when something pops up, and that choose wisdom, humble yourself so that he can exalt you. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Don't worry. God's in God's order, in God's way, he makes everything right. You'll never get forgotten. You'll never get left out. You'll never be the tail because he created you to be the head. Let him do the work inside of you by seeking wisdom, by gaining understanding. Last of these contrasts that I see was fools think they know it all. Fools think they know it all. Proverbs 12:15 tells us this. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Scripture says, what? Help me with my memory, our memory verse. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. It's better. The most valuable thing you can get in this world is wisdom. Choose wisdom. Get understanding. It's supreme. Though it costs all you have, I'm telling you, I pray that God would help us seek out this wisdom. For if you get wisdom, it can change the very course of your life. Over decades, you can impact more for his kingdom. So how do I get wisdom? Let me give a few scriptures before we break down how do we get wisdom in three things. First off, some scriptures. Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Psalms 19:9-11 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:9-15 puts it this way. "You are God's building. I have laid the foundation, but let each one take heed or move forward carefully. How he builds, how he spends his life, how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's works or life will become clear. For the day will be declared, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work or each one's life, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." You see, this warning, and that he's reminding us, our lives matter. What you say and what you do, it matters. Don't be like the foolish that just think, oh, I just live how I want and just walk through life and it doesn't really matter. No, you matter to God. Pause, you heard me say this before. He doesn't need you or me, but he wants you. He wants me. He wants us to be a part. He wants you to reveal his son and his goodness and who he is. He's wanting you to participate with him and that to be a part of the goodness of God that's being revealed to this world so that everyone can taste and see that he is good. We get this warning in 1 Corinthians 3:10. There will be an evaluation of how we built upon the foundation of the salvation of Christ. You see, the way we build our lives matters to God. He calls us to be found without spot or blemish. He calls us to be found worthy and a faithful vessel. Colossians 1:10 says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work." Well, I don't know about you. I miss a lot of things. I find out late, oh, God, I know you kind of wanted this, but fear rose up and I didn't quite do. Or, oh, I know you wanted this and then this and that. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Pause. Say, God, what is it you want? Don't allow the echo of the world. Don't allow the echo of chasing after wealth or chasing after fame or chasing after power or chasing after someone's approval control you and move you into places that you never wanted to go. Ephesians 4:1 says, I beseech you to walk worthy of your calling. Or Philippians 1:27 says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Revelations 2:10 says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. Your life matters. My life matters. So how do we get this wisdom? Well, the good news is the Bible is so clear, it's scary, on how to gain wisdom. Here are three direct verses that will tell us incredibly clear how to get this wisdom. Number one, if you take a note, you can write down, this is point number one, fear God. The verse is Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when we pause for a moment and we start to think and we start to come to that place of understanding and saying, wow, better is wisdom than gold. Better is gaining understanding than silver. We understand then, right off the bat, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we walk around, oh my God, God is going to strike me down today. Oh, he's in a grumpy mood, he's going to get me. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we walk around afraid of God. But the fear of the Lord, the Old Testament reminds us, is a reverent fear. It's kind of like having a holy awe of God. It's a realization that if God stopped thinking of Phil today, I would breathe my last breath because he's the giver of every good thing. And the fact that we're breathing today is because God's thinking about you and he's saying, I still got something for you to do here on earth before I take you to be with me, which I'm longing for, which I'm wanting, but there's something I want you to do. So seek wisdom. Gain understanding. Number one, it starts with fear of God. So many of us are afraid of when we're making decisions, we're afraid of rejection. What are people going to think of me? We're afraid of failure. What if I try and I just don't make it? What we should do is we should live with this awe and holy fear of God. I'm very convinced that one of the biggest problems in our culture today is we're all too familiar with a holy God. We're way too casual with him. Yes, he wants us to be like a child and he wants us to come into his kingdom, absolutely. And we need to understand and then we need to come boldly into his throne room like he said. But we also understand he's God. He's God. Scripture tells us when the glory of God would come into a place, people would fall as if face dead because the very weight of his presence was so amazingly awestruck that they couldn't handle it. They couldn't understand. You know, I'm cool with the big guy in the sky. You know, the big man upstairs. Ah, God understands. I'm going to do what I want, you know, check in with him every now and then. He's okay with that. Him and I got a good deal going. It's amazing, you know, when we pause for a moment here, we think of Jesus, and I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed. Man, that would bend down and wash the feet of his disciples when he should have been the one that got it? It's kind of like the boss shows up and, you know, maybe the lowly worker or whatever, the lowest on the totem pole should be doing this or doing that, and the boss comes in and does stuff, and everyone takes notice. Wow, what was that? Jesus, he does this. Jesus turns around, he says, not my will be done, Father, but yours. We say, wow, that's really cool. Man, I can't believe. Oh, Jesus, we just look up to you. But then in our own lives, we fight for our rights until we die. No one's going to tell me what to do. Right? I mean, that's reality. We like Jesus. We like what he looks like. But are we actually trying to look like him too? Are we letting him transform us? Wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Number two is not just fear God, but ask God. James chapter 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Do you need wisdom today? Well, God's saying and challenging us to ask him to give us wisdom. I can't tell you how many times in that a day I pray for wisdom. I ask him, God, would you help me with this? I couldn't even count it if I started to add it up. Remember in a week, number one, when we were talking, we were walking through, spending one day in the courts of the Lord, then 1,000 elsewhere. We talked about short bursts of communication with God. Well, I'm talking about short bursts of communication, asking for wisdom. God, can you give me wisdom? God, what do I say to this person? God, I need your direction right now. God, would you guide me? God, do you want me to reach out to this person? Oh God, I'm meditating on the verse and I don't know what it means. Can you help me? God, I feel like you want me to do this. Is that what you're saying? God, I want to reach out and help this person. What should I do? Should I call them? Should I write them? Should I send them a note? God, I feel like you're leading me to go in this direction. God, give me wisdom. Show me, God. Short bursts of communication. Pray continually or without ceasing, the Bible says. Don't let anxiety and fear and worry overwhelm you, but turn everything into a matter of prayer. Whether it be a prayer of thanksgiving, whether it be a prayer of, God, I don't understand. Lord, this anxiety's building up. God, what do you really want to say here? How do I navigate? Or what do I need to do here? Because this is overwhelming for me. Invite him in. Wisdom is better. Over and over and over again, I've made more decisions that I believe that are on target spiritually just because I've stopped and asked him for wisdom. He's faithful. Test a minute, ask him. See that he won't be faithful in every time. Don't go to Cosmopolitan. Don't go to the next blog. Don't go to run into this person or that person. But ask him, what do you think, God? And watch what God will give you. Wisdom. He'll give you wisdom and understanding. Fear God. You ask God. And then lastly, if you want wisdom, hang out with people, with wise people. Hang out with wise people. Someone should say an amen to this one. Because I'm telling you what, I'd love to preach really a year on this text because it's so important. Hang out with wise people if you want wisdom. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harms. My Sunday school teacher used to say, Phil, you are who you run with. You are who you run with. Well, one of my hunting buddies up north used to say, if you fly with the crows, you get shot with the crows. Right? In law, if you hang out with someone that steals a car, this has happened not too long ago. Two young guys decided they're stealing this car all the time. And that, and the person didn't realize it was being stolen because they'd bring it back and they'd go for a joyride. And all of a sudden, this one day, they get caught. Well, they're joyriding, having a blast. They take a turn around a corner and they see one of their buddies and say, hey, want to go for a drive? The guy's oblivious, doesn't know anything. Hops in the car. He gets stopped by the police. They get stopped by the police. All three of them get charged. If you fly with the crows, you get shot with the crows. Hang out with wise people, and you will become wise. Hang out with foolish, and you will suffer harm. Bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says. That's just the way it is. That's scripture, and it's true. You want to be wise, then hang with wise people. Hang out with those who are wise. As I close, there's three things that I want to be great at. Three things that when I'm done my time on this earth, I want to look back at and say, okay, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I've accomplished that. Number one, so I want to serve God with all my heart. I don't want to be held back. I want to be faithful, and I want to maximize all the gifts that he's placed inside of me, so that his kingdom and his glory might shine. I don't want to waste a moment. Life is just too short. Number two, I want to be a godly family man. I want to love my bride, my wife, as Christ loved the church. I want to be faithful to her. I want to be a godly father, to raise a generation of people that know him, not just know about him, but that know him and that serve him. And I want to be financially free. I don't want to be indebted to anyone. I don't want to have to make decisions based off finances and controlled by this world, because wisdom is better than gold. I don't want to owe anyone anything except the continued debt of love. So I rearranged my life, and I'm trying to rearrange things and that to move into these areas that are important to me. I'm not saying to everyone, but I'm just trying to be transparent a bit. The problem is the things that we want. When I start looking around my friends and I look around growing up, looking at all my friends, looking at my coaches, looking at the adults that were in my life, I didn't find a lot of those qualities there. A lot of my friends' marriages, their parents' marriages were breaking up. They're barely hanging on. Everyone I knew was living from paycheck to paycheck and broke. Everybody I saw didn't like what they were doing. They didn't like their career. They didn't like their jobs. They might believe in God, but there was no real outward evidence in their lives. That's why I went on the quest to seek wisdom, to seek wise people. You hang out with people like that, and guess what's going to happen in your life? You'll be just like them. Now, I'm not saying that we abandon our friends, but I am saying that you go look and go seek out some wise people and hang out with them. It might cost you everything, but you never go wrong seeking wisdom. Do whatever it takes to find them. So here's the deal. You hang around broken people all your life, listen to the advice from broken people, and what you're going to be is you're going to be a broken person. You look, and all your friends have messed up marriages, and you expect to have a great marriage? hang out with some people that have a good marriage. Look for the wise and hang out for them. You've got nothing but models around you that you can search for and find, because God says he'll always supply an ample supply around you. It just might mean it's not, you're not looking for a friend to do this or to do that, but what's really more valuable? What are we really searching and looking for? You make decisions, and your decisions make you. Get wisdom, because it's supreme. Choose understanding. Fear him. We don't know everything, so fear him. Ask him. He gives generously. Hang out with wise people, and you'll be shocked at what God can do in you over the next year, in the next decade, and the next decade after that. Would you say with me one more time our memory verse for today? How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pause right now. Many of us raised our hand to say, God, we're in the middle of some major decisions in life. God, and we need wisdom. Maybe some of us could raise our hands today and say, wow, we're hanging out with, now that we think about it, a lot of people that are broken. And that's good, so that we can be a light and a breath of fresh air. But if that's all we're hanging out with and that's all we're seeing, Lord, those things can begin to influence us. Remind us that you're greater. Remind us that you have hope. Remind us that the greatest thing we could ever chase after is wisdom. Lord, you are wisdom. And when we have you, we get everything. So when Solomon was asked, you could ask one thing, and he said wisdom. Really, what he was saying is, I want you. I want you in my life. I want you to help me, lead me, and guide me, correct me, and direct me into all things. And that's what you are, Holy Spirit. You are all of that and more. You're the greatest counselor, greatest GPS. You're the greatest guide, the greatest helper that we could ever have. We just got to pause long enough to ask. We need to remember you're in control, God. And so, God, I just thank you right now that you are renewing our minds. As Rockcliffe as a whole, and as Phil Smith, you're renewing our minds to what really matters in life. And it's better to gain wisdom and understanding. It's better. So Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you said in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, all they have to do is ask. You won't even look for faults. You won't look at anything. You'll just lavish it on. So would you lavish wisdom as we as a body begin to ask for more wisdom in every area of our life? Oh God, I thank you for the trajectory, the direction, the course of our lives are forever be shifted because of us not only hearing the word, but putting this word into practice. It's only going to get better. And so we thank you for that right now. God, I bless each and every one. I pray you would overwhelm them with your goodness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would just start to begin to put this into practice. And maybe we've been doing it forever, Lord. But today, Lord, we'll take another step deeper into asking wisdom and waiting on you and opening a heart for what you would do in our lives. Oh, God, I just thank you for each and every one. I bless them, Lord. God, as we come back tonight, Lord, for prayer, God, Lord, I just thank you, God. We not only talk to you, but we can hear you. And, Lord, that you are speaking now even more than ever before, because you said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So, God, thank you for that. Thank you in advance for those that are here today that are going to say, you know what, I got some time in my day. I can serve for a couple hours a day this week with our VBS, the Love on Kids. God, would you just, Lord, impress in their heart as they go out to sign up, Lord. Or maybe it's, you know, man, I've been lonely, or they're needing fellowship, or just wanting to have a fun time and laugh with some people, God, with our car rally. God, I just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as Rockcliffe, we have lots to offer, Lord, and there's a place for everyone. There is a place for everyone here. And so, God, I just thank you for that right now. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. If you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. And I just encourage you to come. and that to the front as I'll wait up here with you and I'll take some time. If not, then we bless you and we'll see you tonight at 6:30 for prayer. If you're helping with the VBS, then if you could maybe just head down into the new youth room, which is at the end of the hall here. If you could head down into there, then our guys, our directors will be down there to meet with you and they'll be able to just give a few directions. It won't be long. It'll just be a few minutes just to give faces and a connection. God bless you. We love you lots, and we'll see you tonight.